Turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, we're going to continue in the parable of the lost son. Luke 15, verses 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again, he was lost and is found. Amen. As we mentioned last time, the father portrayed in this parable is like our Father in heaven. And despite our lost estate, seemingly gone forever, he is in complete control of the situation. For while our sins have a power, they are nothing compared to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that forgiving blood that cleanses, that sacrifice of God's only Son that breaks our hearts, making us ready vessels for His Spirit, ushering forth that irresistible grace whereby we must, like the lost son, we must go to the Father for mercy. And indeed, the Father does show mercy, doesn't He? For He's the one, notice, who runs out to us, embraces us, kisses us, has compassion on us, and forgives us. But the teaching today is that that's not where the Father ends. He does not just save us and then let us live the rest of our lives. No, He loves us, and He continues to lavish and pour out His love upon us, and His mercy, and His grace, and even His correction, because He loves His children. And so accordingly, in our parable, we see that for this father, who has effectively been waiting at the end of the driveway for the return of his son, now the long period of waiting had finally come to an end. And the father had his son back, and it was time for a great celebration. And this celebration is what we're going to look at today, and it's very instructive to us. Have you ever celebrated or had a party? Of course, we all have. Let's look at the party this father put on. First of all, notice that the father was ready. It's almost like he was expecting a great work of God. He was anticipating the work of his son, hopeful, prepared to celebrate, because when the son came back, he knew exactly what to do. It's like he had been dreaming of it. He said, place the best robe upon him. Not just any robe, that best robe, you know, in the back of the closet, which was typically reserved for honored guests. Put a ring on his finger, which signified authority, so that everyone could visibly see that the son had been restored to the father. And placed sandals on his feet, signifying the son was no longer a barefoot poor slave to sin, but now a free man. Are we anticipating the great works of God? Are you expecting it? Are you prepared for the celebration? Are you waiting, praying, hoping, trusting, expecting, believing, looking? Amen. We're looking not only for the eternal work of God to save the lost, but also the everyday works He does in our lives. Amen. Secondly, notice the Father's celebration was very public in nature. It was very public. Just as in the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, this celebration involves inviting others to come and celebrate with them. That which was lost but now is found. And in our parable here, it's not just the close friends that are invited or the family, but the whole community. Because notice, it wasn't a young sheep or a goat that was slaughtered for the feast, but it was the fatted calf. It was the one that had been in waiting, that was fattened up. It was the best. And it was big enough, it could feed the whole community. There was such a joy inexpressible that everyone had to know, and everyone was invited. So rare in our day, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Even for graduations or weddings, we invite our friends and family,
But what if there was such an occasion for rejoicing that you just were compelled to invite the entire county? Anyone driving by on Highway 86, come, you must join with me in the celebration. It's so good. I have prepared an incredible feast of the choicest foods. Come, come, let us eat and be merry. Now that's a celebration. See, the public nature of the celebration was not just to restore the Son to the Father, but to restore the Son to the whole community. For they all had knew what happened. They all knew that the Son ran off and squandered his inheritance. But then watch this. The community now witnessed it all. What did they see? They saw sin, repentance, mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation. They saw the gospel of Jesus Christ laid out before them. So may our whole lives, even our parties, witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thirdly, perhaps most importantly, notice the celebration was Godward. It was God-centered and it was God-focused. Because you must ask, when you go to any party, you say, what's the purpose of this party? What's the reason? But the Father said it at the outset. For this my Son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This only achieved by a great work of God. Without the work of God, what do we have to celebrate? Ourselves? Our accomplishments? Indeed, may the Spirit reveal to us the very depths of the love of God and show us the great work He's doing around us every single day. May the work of God be that which we celebrate, that which we truly rejoice like the Father did here. We celebrate, we declare the great works of God, the riches of His grace. We revel in the cleansing mercy of Christ. May this be our chiefest joy. May this be what we long for, what we plan for, and what we dream of. God calls us not to have our head hung down, depressed about the situation around us, but to be looking and watching and preparing by faith, because this only comes by faith. May we know His mercies. May we seek and rest in the riches of His grace that He's lavished upon us. Ephesians 1 says it well. We'll end with this. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. May it be Christ as our chiefest joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the great work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we may have a great rejoicing and celebration in You. Oh Lord, would You turn our hearts, oh, more Godward, more Christ-centered, more focused on the work that is going on around us and not so attracted to the works of men. Oh, may this, Lord, be what we focus on, what we celebrate in, what we revel in, the mighty work of God, present, past, and future, the eternal work of God. We thank You, and we are humbled by this today, God. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to You.